Now, before I get into the actual whole case and see how good the Lord is, I want to tell you that in Genesis chapter 5, there's genealogies from Adam to the flood. And in that chapter, there are six people who lived to be over 900 years old. And I was joking with Jack yesterday, if we could live that long, maybe I would know a little bit about Scripture, you know, because that's how deep it is. You can never come to the riches. It's like a minefield. You can dig, but you're going to hit some surface. You're going to hit some deeper stuff, but saying that, there's some people that could live to be 900 years old, and they would stay the same. They would be forever learning and never increasing in the truth. And basically, it's people who, they already know what they believe, and no matter what verse they hear, you slant that verse to mean what you want it to mean, what you already believe. So, we see that a lot. And now, I say six men lived to over 900. Poor Enoch, his life wasn't, he was very, very short. You know, he didn't live very long. Unfortunately, he only got to live 365 years. So, but then he was taken. But he was a brilliant astronomer. And Adam knew astronomy. He walked with God. And God showed him the gospel and the stars. And he taught it to his son Seth. And if you look at the book by Seiss on the astronomy, I think it's at the TFT bookstore. Also Bollinger's book on gospel and the stars. But it's like two companion books. Seiss was actually in the States here. But in the appendices, he has a lot of what I'm telling you here. But it just happens that Enoch also was a brilliant astronomer. And by that, what I mean is he knew the gospel in the stars. He learned it. And if you look at Psalms chapter 19, the first six verses talk about the gospel in the stars. So there's 14 verses in that chapter. The second half of that chapter transitions into the Word of God. So the two are synonymous. The two are synonymous. We have the Word. We have the Word that before Moses wrote the law. And people even up to 200 years ago could tell you all kinds of things about the stars, but we can't anymore. But God had that written so that those people would know that there was a coming Savior. It had the flood in there. It had the big flock and the little flock. That's near the North Star. And that has to do with the chosen and the masses. And it came down to Noah, and we're all related through Noah. Every single one of us are blood related through Noah, and even past that. But so, you know, I feel at home here, being among, you know, cousins, people I'm so closely related to. So I'll go ahead here with Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8. And it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for this is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I only wrote down 8 here, but we read 8 through 10. But it says taste. Of course, that's a figure of speech. It has to do with our perception in this case. And blessed is the man, the Geber in Hebrew. It has to do with a strong man as opposed to Adam, Adam. Adam, where all man came through. And that means he's a strong, in this context, he's a strong spiritual man. Blessed is the spiritual man that trusteth not in himself, but in the Lord. That's the person that trusts in himself. That's the person I was talking about back in, if we live to be 900 years old. That's what, it's not going to get us anywhere. But what we do, we rely on the Lord. And just like the speakers that came before me, they all went through a lot of thought process when they put their lessons together, and they trusted the Lord, and it shows in each of those lessons. It shows. I should have wrote down every time somebody wrote something that robbed me of, I shouldn't use the word rob, because the Holy Spirit gave it to both of us. But this first one, Chico gave us a heads up on. It's in John 5:39. And Psalms 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures and see." Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So here we have the chapter in the Bible which talked about the impotent man. Remember, for 38 years he was impotent. And this has to do with a sign to Israel. He couldn't walk. The man couldn't walk. And we're going to see in a minute, or I'm going to mention also chapter 9, where the man couldn't see. And that was a sign to Israel. So I can teach you to walk. And I can teach you to see. And those were signs to him, to Israel. But here we have in verse 38, he's talking to the Jews who wanted him dead for healing this man on the Sabbath day. So he's telling them, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He's telling these Jews that wanted him dead. But I'm going to go through a couple more verses just for the context. I don't have to start in verse 1 because Chico did that for us. But in verse 5, it says, the 38 years, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Chico talked about stirring of the water, which the verses right before this. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And that was it. After 38 years, that's all it took. He had life. Now the man had life abundantly. And he needed someone else to carry him down to the waters. Well, that wasn't going to happen. But here it happened. A miracle. And in verse 8, so Jesus saith unto him, rise up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And this is what made him mad. He started carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Well, you can't do that. In another place, the Lord told the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for the man, not the man for the Sabbath. We're in these frail bodies that we live in. We need a day of rest, and God prepared that for us. But these guys didn't understand that. They wanted to see the religiosity behind it. And also, they wanted fear. That's how most religions are. There's always fear involved in any religion. And that's where we differ. There's no fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We speak the truth in love to each other and to anyone. It has nothing to do with religion in my mind. But it just has to do with what the Lord gave us. And that's who we are. We belong to Him. And then in verse 16, it says, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him, because He had done these things on the Sabbath day." So, also in chapter 9, I'll just read verse, I didn't write it down here, but I'll just read verse 9:22. Says, and this was after He healed the man that couldn't see. "These words spake His parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." You're discommunicated. Get out of here. You don't belong with us. So they were afraid. And this man that was blind, but now he saw, that fear had left him. It never left him. And later, I won't get into that on this chapter, though, but he even spoke up to the Pharisees. And they said, "What, you're trying to teach me?" You know, the Pharisee told him that. So, let's see. The fourth commandment says, talks about the Sabbath. That's the fourth commandment. They took all of the writings of the Old Testament and distorted it in some way or another. Now also, in the next passage here, we have Psalms chapter 40 in verse 7 and 8. And also, Chico talked about Coverdale, Miles Coverdale. You know, it'd be good if when you study the Bible that you consider when it was written, who it was written to, on and on. Coverdale also had a Coverdale Bible. He wrote for Henry VIII. Was it Henry? Yeah, Henry VIII, 1535. He was quite a student. But in Psalms 40, in verse 7, I want to add one thing to Coverdale's writing, or his suggestions. I want to just add one little point here. And it says, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God." So here we have Christ, and he still is the center, the very word itself. Christ is the word. And that's one thing, whenever we study the Bible, we see a verse and we went through all of these different things. How does this point to Christ? Because every verse in here points to Christ. And as Ron pointed out yesterday, if there's one thing, there's just one thing that's wrong in this book, what good is it? Would we even have a conference then? No. There's zero mistakes in this Bible. And that's what our firm foundation is laid on, that very fact. So, but he says, it is written of me. In other words, you, I am here to do thy will, O God. So, this is how this is all fulfilled in Scripture, how that Christ, the Son of God, fulfills all of the works that the Father gives him to do. Now, I think every speaker talked on the verse 2 Timothy 2:15, and each one had a little bit different approach to it in a different context. And I want to also turn to that because in verses 10 and 12, I want to tie this all together for the context. Where it says, study to show thyself, or spoudazo in the Greek, be diligent, search. And we don't study for the sake of patting ourselves on the back. That's not our emphasis when we talk about study. We study because we want the Holy Spirit to talk to us where we can have some true growth. And that ties into verse 10, therefore I endure. We see that is the word hupomeno, and Christ is our head. It's sort of like a body. Here we have our head, and it sends all kinds of messages throughout our arms and legs and heart and the whole body, every organ, and that's the head. We cannot disconnect that. And that's who we are. He controls. He is our very existence. Without God, we wouldn't be here, obviously. He is. We lay prostrate before him, so to speak. And that's what this verse says. Therefore, I remain under, because you are our head. I remain under. For all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, if we remain under, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But when we get to the verse 15, it's still on that same note, where endeavor, study, you know, to show thyself approved. That's how we do that. That's how we do that, to show ourselves approved unto God. Anything short of that is really not worth much. If we don't empty ourselves and give everything to him, you know, study doesn't mean much. And next verse we have is Romans 8:27. And here it says, and he that searcheth, let's see, it's almost the same in the King James as the way I wrote it here in the RSV. I'll just read it out of the King James. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it is the Holy Spirit that gives us this wisdom and this knowledge. And it's how we grow. Without it, our growth is stunted. So that's, as students, as we call ourselves students of the Bible, that's because we let go and let the Lord do the instructing. And I don't think any of you know this next verse, but it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we've seen that this weekend. I tell you what, I didn't do anything in this conference other than help originally you know, say, hey, it's a good idea, this is our 50th year. But as Jan said, it took on wings of its own. And people, this verse came part of that. The Spirit led through, not me, but through all of you folks. All of you folks have chipped in and helped. And I didn't say it. A lot of the planning I didn't even do. Chico and Priscilla and others did the planning. So I'm, you know, to me it's just an honor and a privilege just to stand up here in front of you. It's a real privilege to talk to all of you folks. And you're all wonderful, every single one of you. And but yeah, that's the Holy Spirit reveals Himself. This book, it's like if I wrote a book you know, maybe I'd write an autobiography, maybe you'd learn something, but it wouldn't be much because this book interprets itself. It speaks, Christ speaks of Himself in this book, and He makes it part of our life. See, a man can't do that in his writings. Only the Word can do that. Okay, so that's the first part there, search and see. And from that we can see that the Lord is good. And taste and see we had in the introduction. And now we'll move on to something He promises to all of us. The reward of the inheritance we find in Colossians 2:18 and 19. Colossians 2:18 says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. No preacher, don't listen to anybody unless you check it out for yourself. It's your responsibility to check it out for yourself, because when you're dealing with the Lord, that's what He expects of you. You're not going to say, I knew Dwight Moody, or, you know, it doesn't matter who you knew. He's not going to be part of the judging that goes on there. I mean, in this lifetime, Melanie reminded me yesterday that, you know, we're not going to really be judged. Once we're sealed in that Holy Spirit of promise, that's it. Now, we've had several discussions of that over the past years, and I'll get into that a little bit in a minute. But once we come to this dispensation of the mystery, we have to really think it out different than what we've read before. But this hope in these heavenly places that we have now is far above all. And it has nothing to do with this earth, as all of the previous dispensations did. Those dispensations had to do with a kingdom message on this planet Earth. But now we're above that. We're way above that. So, it's you and God alone. Where it talks in Ephesians 5 about, you know, he compares the man and his wife to Christ and the church. A man and his wife must be close. They must know each other. Or that's the goal, to know each other, that no one else knows. Only you two know. It's you two. And that's what Christ is talking, Paul's talking about when he compares Christ to the church. Because an individual member of the church is you and God. It's only you and Him in that tight relationship that you have. And of course, we want to share that and, you know, speak the truth and love to each other. But he says this is a great mystery, but it's something special. Marriage is a special thing. And let no man beguile you. And that's the word. krateo, hold fast. It says here, keep. This thesis out of strong, holding to the head. Seize on to the head. Okay, next, Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So we could spend a whole hour on that easy, these three verses we just read. And we've done that in our Bible studies in the past. But the point there would be that we're already with him. We're already reckoned in the past tense. We're already seated in the heavenly places, past tense. So that's when we talk about a reward of the inheritance, that we can go and talk about that and have a group discussion about maybe for an hour. But that's all we can say for right now. Now in Matthew 13, in verse 23, we see a parable. And one thing you're going to find in every single parable that the Lord talked about is the word. So that's the first thing you want to find when you're reading that parable. Because he didn't describe all of them. He described this one of the sower. This is a sower. He sowed on good ground, on bad ground, and so forth. That one the Lord went back and explained later to the disciples. But in 23, he said, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So it's where we are with the Lord is that good soil, is how good that soil is. And we bear fruit. We all bear fruit for others to see. So that's the parable of the sower explained. And he only talked to those who could hear. That's why he talked in parables, because some people could not hear the word no matter how you explained it to them. But some could hear the word because they wanted to search and see that he was good. And so that goes along with our inheritance. And you know, time runs out. Time is running out for all of us. But it's not something we need to fear. It's not something we need to think, oh, I better step into gear right now, because time's running out too fast. But as we get older, you know, we say it a little different. It's like we talk more about this vile body that we're in and so forth. And we're going to get into that verse here in a minute. But the next section here, this the third section, I labeled, he is able. And first we see that in 2 Timothy 1:12. And most of you know this song, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But the word for I know, the word oida we talked about last week actually in a Bible study, that is an instinctive knowledge. It's like if you have a son or a daughter or a husband and a wife, and you love them and you truly love them, you know it instinctively. That's not something you have to learn or be explained to you. And that's what Paul says here. He's telling Timothy, I know whom I believed. And he's reminding Timothy of this, because Timothy had been with him for many years. And Timothy was no lightweight when it came to Scripture. or Paul, Paul would have found someone else that would be, Paul could trust Timothy, and he did, and he was trustworthy. So to me, he was reminding Timothy of these things. And in all of us, once we're a believer, we instinctively know that. Once old things were passed away in our lives, we instinctively know that verse. I know who I believe. So, and that's why we can speak so firmly about it. Because it's so perfect. Thy law is perfect is one verse in different verses. Then in Matthew 11:29, it says, and I'm going to start in verse 28. Sorry to whoever's doing pal talk for us.
No pal talk.
Okay. Then I'm sorry there's no pal talk.
There's nobody to talk to on it.
I was the only one on this one.
Okay. That's okay. I won't get into that, but the higher that you get into truth, and that, I'm not speaking of our group, but it's like a pyramid. We got Islam and Catholicism and baptism and so forth, and you get up to the capstone, the higher you get, the smaller area there is, and that's the pyramid of truth. That's not biblical. It's just a comparison, but
Is that a philosophy?
Yeah. Philip 7:27. Okay, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. All of these religions want you to think you have to fear this God. I'm a fearful God. Yeah, I am. He is. But not in the way we have to fear man. We only have to fear to reverence him. That's what we do in fear is reverence. But I am meek and lowly. What a wonderful Lord we have. In heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's when we get involved that it gets heavy. But when we let go and trust him, empty ourselves, he does some amazing things. So, again, we're really in a hurry. As Mike said yesterday, this little time we have on earth is a speck, just a tiny speck. But we still have it. We still have it. And the Lord has chosen each one who he decided to choose before the foundation of the world, before age times. So we just remember that he's with us. He walks with us. He's the light unto our feet. And he's everything. It's amazing that I just wonder, how is it possible he chose me? I don't have an explanation. Have no idea. And then we have in Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20 says, where am I? I'm in Colossians. Okay. For our conversation is in the heavens. That's the first time heaven was ever mentioned in the Bible, that all of the religions believe that when we die, we go to heaven. It's the first time it was ever mentioned, and it was in the mystery epistles. Can you imagine? And we're ultra dispensationalists because we study Paul. And here it is, first time we ever knew of a resurrection in the heavens in the first place. So you know, that finger they're pointing at us, basically pointed back at them. But then later in Ephesians, five different times, he says, in the heavenly places. En tau et uranos. So, and that's where we are. We are dead, and we keep our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. But it says, our citizenship is in the heavens, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall change our vile body. And again, that's when you get my age, you start talking more about this vile body. And Nathan used to talk about that and said, boy, it's like, it's breaking down. It's like, I forget what all his ails were, but hips and backs, and the Bagbys all have bad backs. Turns out a lot of the people in our group does have bad backs, but we deal with it. But that we're talking about a body that breaks down, and the word there is a low estate. This body we're in breaks down. The body we're going to have, this new body we're going to have, will not break down. And I wonder what the mind's going to be like, you know, what our mind will be like once we get into that body. You know, I'm not sure. We could all speculate on that. It says, and let me go ahead and keep reading that verse. It says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So, that's why I wanted that in this lesson, because we can, this is a progressive thing here as we walk with God and trust Him and learn. The more we learn of Him, the more we trust Him. That's how the Bible is. That's how anybody is. When you first meet somebody, do you trust them? You don't know anything about them, but you get to know them after. You know, Oscar used to say most married couples don't really know each other very well. That's how Oscar used to explain it. But it's not fortunate. God didn't intend it that way. God wants us a united whole with Him. We're a united couple. So. There you have Philippians 3:21, 20 and 21. Let's go to 3:11. Philippians. Just one page, but I have calluses and everything else on my hands. So. Philippians 3:11 says, oh, I was already on that page. So I spent 5 minutes flipping around. You're all thinking, this guy does need a new body. Okay, so, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the out-resurrection of the dead. So we have all of these believers on the earth that are going to be in the resurrection, but this is the ex-anastasis. This is the resurrection out from among the resurrected ones. And Alan talked about how few people, even in Paul's time, how few people are really in that. All the way through Scripture, it was like that. The remnant and so forth. So that's why it's amazing. It's amazing that we can look at this and think, here we are in front of God, talking about these great things that he has done for us. So, you know, that's what we're looking forward to. So that he's able to do these things. And talking about being able, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But in conclusion, let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And again, that goes back to Ron's verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, that he talked about. And if we can't do this one thing, you know, we're not going to get very far. We have to at least be of one mind when it comes to how do we approach the Bible. We can open it up. We can all discuss it. And we're not all going to come to the same conclusions. But I'll tell you one thing. I didn't believe that John was written during the mystery period until a couple of years ago. And I just didn't believe it. And it was only through the Bible studies in the last couple of years that I started believing that. And Alan, I think you taught on John a lot. And used the phrase, John 3:16 salvation, which is to the world. It's to the whole world. But yeah, I believe that now, that John was written after Paul was revealed the mystery. And so that took me 48 years, let's say, to see that. So there's always hope, you know. But that's what we have to agree on, is how to study. We have to love one another and speak the truth in love. And yeah, I will go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4:15, and we'll close with that verse. I didn't write it down, but I think it's a good verse to close with. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So with that, let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, again for this time we get to share your word. Thank you for each one here. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to trust you. Help us to know you better. We think of all those in need this morning, and we pray that you'll keep your hand on these people, our group, those who are still traveling. And thank you for and praise you, and look forward to our next message. And all these things we ask you in your wonderful, perfect name, we pray. Amen.